Well, today we have lesson 9, and we're starting a new chapter. We're in chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes. We'll be doing the first 8 verses, looking at those today. So let's think about last time, or where we've been in the book. After a brief flirtation, if you will, with hope, the preacher returned to despair at the end of Ecclesiastes 3 when he considered the problem of injustice. Now, continuing along the same lines, let's read what he says in verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that's done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors, there is power, but they have no comforter. So Solomon saw now with his under-the-sun thinking, and he considers oppressed people. He considers the oppression of others that he sees all around. These oppressed have no comforter. He seems to have compassion for the oppressed, which is amazing. I mean, very interesting coming from the very powerful king that he was. Well, compassion for the oppressed is a very common theme in the Old Testament. Let's just take a moment to consider some of the oppressed and some of the scriptures. There was oppression of people by a king. Proverbs 28, verse 16, the first part says, "A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor." Oppression of a servant by his master. Deuteronomy 24, verse 14. "You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land with your gates." Oppression of the poor by the affluent. Proverbs 22, verse 16. "He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty." Oppression of the poor by the bureaucratic. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. "If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter. For high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them." And we have oppression of the poor by other poor people. Proverbs 28, verse 3. "A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food." Oppression of the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, we're not going to go there, but those are in Jeremiah 7, 6, Ezekiel 22, 7, and Zechariah 7:10. There's oppression of by charging high interest. That's in Ezekiel 22. There's oppression by using false weights and measures. You find that in Hosea chapter 12, verse 7. So Solomon thought of the painful and tear-filled lives of the oppressed. In an under-the-sun world where this life is all there is from a human perspective, men and women give no account for their lives in a world to come, and those oppressed have no further hope. The tears of the oppressed are especially bitter, and they have no comforter. So then he says in verse 2 and 3, "Therefore, I praise the dead who were already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." Wow. Because of oppression and sadness, man is better off dead, he's saying, or that they may not even have been brought into the world to begin with. In view of life's unfairness, Solomon concludes that death is better than life. What a sad and disturbing conclusion. Verses 4 through 6, he says, "Again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with oil and grasping for wind. Next, in verse 4 here, the preacher thought of those who gain success through toil and skillful work. He's moved on from oppression here. And he's bothered by this. He considers the toil and the skillful work only to have it cause envy and sometimes hatred from others. This common jealousy of success, of a life that a person has, a successful life, seemed like vanity and grasping for the wind. In verse 5, he says, the fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Solomon gives us a tendency, or what is a tendency, for those jealous of the success of others to be lazy. Like fools, they fold their hands and do nothing, and they waste away. Understand, it wasn't the success of their neighbor that made them waste away. The foolish, lazy man consumes his own flesh. This expression means destroys himself, brings ruin upon himself. A similar thought from a different perspective is found in Psalm 27, verse 2. Here David says, when the wicked came against me to eat or to devour up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. The wicked were trying to destroy David, bring him to ruin. So now in verse 6, better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. This is really a neat verse when you think about it. And the preacher reflects on the value of contentment here. It's better to have less and be content than to have more and constantly be grasping for more on top of it. Solomon weaves some fascinating themes together here in these verses. Hard work and success are good and not to be envied. Laziness is wrong and destructive. Actually, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul states bluntly, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Yet even the one with full hands must learn contentment. So that's why Solomon says, better to have one hand full of labor and its fruit and one hand full of contentment. Have a balanced life. It was Paul who said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Well, then our last verses for today, Solomon returns to see another situation of man that's vanity under the sun. Verse 7, he says, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion, and he has neither son nor brother, yet there's no end to his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. In these last verses, Solomon is thinking of the man who's alone, without family or close friends. The man in Solomon's thinking here is working hard, and then he just wants to gain more and more and more. We could say maybe he's a workaholic, and that's what he has in mind here, because he's never satisfied with the riches. And we see the foolishness of incessant labor beyond that of what's necessary to satisfy daily needs. And he never thinks, when he's striving for these riches, why am I doing this? I don't even have anybody to share it with. And so Solomon says that's vanity and a grave misfortune, literally an evil task. There's no satisfaction. The preacher was entirely correct from an under-the-sun perspective. Under that premise, there's no such thing as an eternal accomplishment, and one does not even have the potential satisfaction of passing one's accomplishments on to another. All is vanity and a grave misfortune. In a practical sense, what can we take from our lesson today? A shared, balanced life is the best. On the one hand, a life of profitable labor, and on the other hand, a life of quietness, contentment, and peace of mind. And the fruit of your labor shared with others brings blessings to your life and to the life of others. A life filled with toil will only lead to a competitive spirit, which can lead to the sins of envy and covetousness. Truly, a life of godliness with contentment is great gain. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.